Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to shift gears and we're going to talk about credit cards. We're going to talk about financial reality checkup. We're going to talk about things that you have to make sure it's not what you make, it's what you keep, and it's how you're smart with your money. And so that's why this is Real Money. And that's the theme of the show. And so we talk about a lot of different things on this program. Well, today I have one of my favorite guests, I confess. And once you hear her, you'll know why. Her name is Gail Cunningham. She's Vice President of Membership and Public Relations at National Foundation for Credit Counseling. The website is nfcc.org. And they've got a toll-free number. I'll give this to you a few times during the program. 1-800-388-2227. And it is my pleasure to welcome back Gail Cunningham. Welcome, Gail.
Well, I'm always happy to be here. Thank you, David.
Well, you just make me grin. You make me grin when I hear your voice.
I'm not sure if it's me or the accent, but I'll take it.
It's both, I confess. It's both. I grew up in the South. I am a sucker for that Southern voice you have, but it's what comes out and what your message is, which really is just so important to me, and that's helping people be more aware, be smarter about what they're doing, and really understand this. And Gail's been doing this for a long time. She started her credit counseling sector career in 1987, and she has worked with one-on-one with just a lot of people, and the organization itself, National Foundation for Credit Counseling, they're the giant in this area, really helping a lot of people with resources and how to make, again, decisions about their finances when it comes to credit and financial challenges, debt, and all of those things. The website's got a lot of good information. In 2002, Gail was honored with the PACE Award at National Counselor of the Year by the NFCC, and she has been appointed to the U.S. Department of Labor Women's Division, team of experts that are working in one of their Wise Up programs. So let's dive in here, Gail, because we could talk for hours about this subject. But one of the things that I know that you are thinking about already as we approach the holidays is the NFCC recommends that consumers take the holiday financial reality checkup quiz to make sure they're in a position for their holiday spending and make sure that they are prepared for that. And so let's talk about that, if you will.
Well, yes, you're right. Interestingly, our work is somewhat seasonal. And I don't know that many people would have thought of it like that, but we're going into our slowest season, so to speak, of the year. That's always the last quarter of every year. Now, why is that? It's because people put their common sense on the shelf when they go into holiday mode, and they begin spending, making spending decisions with their heart, not their head. Mm. They can act pretty responsibly 9 months out of the year, but the closer we get to the holidays, they're going to be convinced by carols and decorations and sales and whatnot. So we're cautioning folks. Another reason that we really want folks to take a good look at their financial situation right now before they dig in earnest to their holiday spending is lots of them are still paying summer vacation bills, back to school expenses, and in the worst case scenarios, some are even still paying the ghost of Christmas is past and what they charged last year during the holidays. So if you recognize yourself, and hats off if you don't recognize yourself for any of those situations, but you just want to be a savvy consumer, continue doing what's right, then stop. This coming weekend would be a great time to sit down and take a look at who you owe your current debt obligations, because one of the worst things you could do is pile new debt on top of old.
Amen to that. That's great advice, Gail. And so you made a great point about suspending logic or using your head and then shifting into that. We can justify spending money very easily. It's not hard to do. And the thing that is interesting to me is on top of that, you have how easy it has become. And I know you've seen this. I've watched it, and I know you have too, the evolution of how much faster and easier it is to transact. You literally don't have to get out of bed.
Oh, sure. And folks will begin doing their holiday shopping from home in their jammies, sometimes in the middle of the night in solitude. And shopping carts are virtual now, making it even easier to toss something in there. Free shipping, even rush shipping, et cetera. So it's very free, and those are good marketing tools, and we fall for them. And there's nothing in the world wrong with everything that scenario I just rolled out, unless you shouldn't be shopping at all. Or if you're perhaps, in my scenario, I gave it in the middle of the night, you know, if you're hiding anything, if you're shopping in the middle of the night, not because you're enjoying some peace and quiet, but because you're trying to hide what you're doing, that's a red flag.
Yeah,
too.
That's probably not a good sign.
We call that financial infidelity if you're in a relationship and hiding your spending from your spouse.
Well, let's do this, Gail. Let's go through some of these, your quiz, because I think they're excellent. So this is from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And if you don't mind, I'll read them off. You can kind of fill in any of the extra details about this if you'd like, Gail.
Okay.
So this is from Gail's organization. Number one, know how much money I currently owe on each credit card.
Well, you know, it sounds like common sense that people would know how much they owe. But every day people walk into one of our 600 offices. By the way, there's at least one office in every state and Puerto Rico.
Yay.
With grocery sacks filled with unopened bills. Now, that's not the picture of financial management.
No. No, that's not good. So if somebody doesn't know what they owe on each card, and I, you know, don't mean to the penny, but if they don't know, then that's a warning sign.
That's correct.
Okay. Number two, am I receiving collection calls and notices?
Well, you know, you just said what great justifiers we are. And so you would think this, my goodness, if the phone's ringing off the hook and every time you answer it, it's a collector and you go to the mailbox and it's letters dunning you for a payment, gee, surely that person would know that they're not in a position to begin holiday spending. But again, we trick ourselves. We look the other way. We think our ship's going to come in. Tomorrow will be better. And we ignore that we're already in a deep financial hole and we pile new debt on top of it. So if that's you, just swallow hard, take that deep breath, and reach out for help to do something about it. I can promise you that situation is not going to cure itself.
No, it's not. And I appreciate your pointing out that you've got the 600-some affiliated centers around the country. And, you know, folks can go on the website, nfcc.org, and they can do a search and find a counseling center close by, and or they can do this over the phone.
Sure, absolutely. Okay. We like to say that the delivery channel of the counseling or education is consumer-driven. So we make it easy for them, like you say, either in person, by phone, or online. The consumer can pick whatever delivery channel is easiest, best for them.
Excellent. All right, next on the list of financial checkup questions from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling is, do you have money saved to pay cash for your holiday expenses? I love this question.
Well, we posed it where folks could answer true or false. So we're hoping that they answered true to this one, that they have saved. Now, if that isn't you and you're just wishing you had and it's too late now and you're beating yourself up about that, we can talk about how to resolve that. But moving forward, January is going to be a great time for you to change that habit. Why January? Mm. Because all the bills are going to be coming in again. And holiday spending involves more things than gifts. It involves gift wrap. It involves entertainment.
Food.
It involves travel and cards and postage and whatnot. So look at all of your holiday expenses, divide it by 10, and stock away that amount each month. Then come next October, you've got the cash ready to begin digging in with your holiday planning. By the way, I recently saw where the National Retail Federation projected that the average consumer would spend $800+ on the holidays this year. Now, to me, that's a pretty big chunk of change.
It is, but I love the monthly budgeting. And the challenge, it requires discipline to set that money aside every month. But that's why employers have that Christmas fund. That's one way to do it, but you can do it yourself too.
Sure. And you know, a Christmas club, some of us remember those. That seems old-fashioned, but you know what? It worked.
If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Right.
All right. So next one, which we've already kind of talked about, Gail, is will you be adding new debt on top of old debt when you charge your holiday expenses?
What people don't realize about doing that maybe they're not receiving collection calls, but they're revolving their debt, and that means you're rolling over debt, carrying over debt from month to month. You end up paying interest on the interest.
That's right.
And also, people sometimes reach around and pat themselves on the back about finding just the right gift for someone on sale. And you know what? When you revolve that debt, you charge it and you don't pay it in full when the bill arrives, you pay it out over months or hopefully not even the next year, you give up that savings.
That's
See,
right.
You're giving it right back.
You sure are.
If you really want to recognize or realize that savings, you've got to buy the item on sale and pay the bill in full when it arrives.
Excellent. One more and we'll grab a break.
Okay.
Have you reviewed your credit report and score in the past 12 months? This one was interesting. This one surprised me.
Well, you know, knowing your credit report and score are two of the building blocks to financial success. But then the NFCC's annual financial literacy survey, and we discovered that in spite of it being free, 65% of people have not ordered their credit report in the past 12 months, and 60% don't know their credit score. Now, your credit report, look at it like this, as though it's your financial fingerprint.
Hmm.
It's the telltale sign of everything you've done financially, who you borrowed from in the past and how you repaid them. Your credit score is a numerical expression of that. Those two things predict your financial borrowing power. Your financial future, opening new lines of credit, getting loans for a house or a car or starting a business, whatever, are going to be strongly influenced by your credit report and score, and yet people go through life blindly, not looking at them.
Excellent. 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 Good questions. And we'll continue more questions to kind of get that reality check right after the break. NFCC, National Foundation for Credit Counseling, Gail Cunningham. And the website, nfcc.org. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back with Gail Cunningham. She is with the NFCC, National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And the website, again, you'll hear it more than once, nfcc.org, and then 800 number 388-2227. So we're going to the Holiday Financial Reality Checkup Quiz from NFCC, and we're now going to number 6. Am I near the maximum amount of allowed on my credit lines?
Well, this means that you're maxing out your credit. And what a lot of people do when they have no more available credit on card A, they reach in their wallet for card B. Mm. A lot of us have been in checkout lines behind those folks, and one gets denied, and they just undaunted reach in their wallet, pull out the next card, and charge on it. Now, another thing that happens here, if all of your cards are maxed out, no available credit remaining, they apply for new lines of credit. Well, I'm here to suggest that you should consider how much overall debt you're carrying.
Yeah.
And are you responsibly servicing that debt? Again, the best way to service that debt is to pay the bill in full the day it arrives. Now, why am I saying the day it arrives? If you're paying by snail mail, you really need to do that because the issuer is mailing it from their location. Hmm. And the post office tells us to allow 7 to 10 days for mail to arrive. So let's say it eats up 10 of the 21 days between when it leaves their facility and the payment is due. Well, we're on day 10. You better open it. You better pay it and put it in the mail that day. And you're going to chew up the next 10 days to get it back to them. Because if you don't, you're going to experience a late fee, potentially an over-limit fee, and mm-hmm. your balance, et cetera.
Not good.
So you just got to be aware of your available credit. Again, let's go back to that credit score for a minute. we recommend at the NFCC not to utilize more than 30% of your available credit. Some will say even less than that, but I like people to listen to me. And if I make it too strict, they'll tune me out. 30% of your available credit. So if you have a $1,000 line of credit, don't charge more than $300. Why? The top two weighted elements of the credit scoring model, number one is paying your bills on time, and number two is how much of your available credit you've used. If you're maxing out your credit cards, that's going to lower your credit score, and you want a high score. High score equals low interest rate and access to credit.
That's excellent. I think people be well served to follow that. You know, I was kind of thinking as you were describing that about getting to the The other thing about having a buffer there is, well, there's two things. One, with the, you know, actually paying the bill. The other thing that can happen, and this is just, I'm not going to speak from my household, but I've heard of this happening, is if you don't pay that bill right away, it gets in, put in a stack somewhere on the counter, and then the stack stacks up, and now you can't find the bill, or you forget it for a month, and then you have to send it in and then call and beg for the to get the late fee off. And I'm not saying that's ever happened in my house, Gail. I'm just saying, okay?
Yeah, you don't want to get in trouble when you get home, but it's so true. You find it stuffed in the visor of your car. You know, yeah. You stopped at the mailbox, went through your mail, stuffed it up there. Find it in the bottom of your purse. Everybody's well-meaning.
Yeah.
No one intends to do that, but it happens to everyone. And before you go to the next question, I want to caution people about one more thing as we
sure.
go into the holidays. You're going to see a lot of buy now, pay later programs, particularly on big ticket items.
Right.
And what happens there relative to your credit utilization ratio is typically you will buy that big screen TV and you will open a new account at the appliance or electronics store. Then that account will have a line of credit associated with it, which is equal to your purchase. So what'd you just do?
You immediately maxed out
that line of credit.
Interesting.
Yes. And so, again, people think, oh, I'm going to take care of that. Take advantage of that buy now, pay later plan. No interest for 6 months. Hey, I'm smart. Guess what? You just maxed out a new line of credit.
That's very interesting, Gail. I think 99% of people would not know that. Very interesting. And you know, I have to digress and we'll go back to our question because whenever I purchase something, and I know people like to have the department store or the big box store credit card where when you make that big purchase and they want to give, you're going to get an extra 10, 20, 30, 40% off when you open up that card right then and there with that store, whoever it is. And I have to say, I'm just a fan of not doing that. Number one, I know you're getting the discount, but you're being, it's kind of inducing you to get a card that you don't really want or need to try to save some money. But now you've extended yourself further with your credit cards. And now you've just given somebody information about you, a lot of sensitive personal information in a store. How do you know they aren't going to use that and open up? They've given them everything they need to do to open up a credit card. Well, how do you know they're not going to be gone tomorrow from that store and be somewhere else and then use that information or somebody around the aisle listening? I mean, it's just replete with risk.
Well, I agree. And just the basic idea of it is that more plastic equals more temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, oh, goody, this is going to be smart, a smart move on my part. I'm going to save 10% on today's purchase by opening this new card. Well, that's very short-sighted thinking. Long-term, if you had needed that card, you'd have already applied for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And so you know what else?
Don't put an inquiry on your credit
yep.
report. Don't get another card that equals more temptation. And also, always be protective of your personal information.
Amen to that. And they're going to also pound you an email and by paper in the post office box with sale
yep.
after
yep.
sale after sale after sale. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, you're just saying right. And, you said you're going to digress. I think you and I could digress all day. Everything we bring up leads to another idea.
All right. Yeah, I better get to our list. That, we talked about that being near the top of our credit limit. But the other thing about that, too, about giving yourself a margin, and we'll move on, is you need to leave room because what if you have a real emergency? Then you've got
to. Oh, absolutely.
You can
great
go to the car.
Point. None of us have that crystal ball and can predict the future. And you never know when you're going to need available credit. So a great reason to have that cushion and not max out your credit cards. Very practical reason.
Excellent. Let's do this, Gail. We'll break our momentum a little bit so we can get to the last questions. I'll grab a quick break. Gail Cunningham, Vice President of Membership and Public Relations at the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org is the website, and the toll-free number, 800-388-2227. We'll be right back.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Gail Cunningham, NFCC, NFCC.org, National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And so the next question is, are you current on that vehicle payment?
Well, and we hope everyone's saying yes.
I hope so.
Yes, because you put money down for that vehicle, and you've made monthly payments, so you don't want to risk having it repossessed. Also, you need transportation. You need to get to work. You need to get the kids to school and to conduct your daily life. So really protect that secured payment. That is typically a person's most expensive secured payment. We recommend at the NFCC that people priority pay. And what we mean by that, we've all got limited amount of money, so how should I allocate it? Number one is your living expenses. That's your rent or mortgage, your utilities, keeping food on the table, gas in the car, medicine bought, etc. Next most important payment are secured payments.
Yeah.
And again, as I said, the vehicle usually sits at the top of that list. Then, if you got money left over, and I hope you do, pay your creditors, the unsecured debt that you owe, your credit cards, medical debt, etc. Hope you have enough money to go around. But if money's tight at your household, then pay in that order, and you're going to be a lot better off. Going to keep that wolf away from the door.
Yeah, that's right on the money. All right, so let's go to the next one. Have I applied for a payday loan, title loan, or credit card advance in the last 12 months?
Yep, red flag just ran up the pole.
Yep.
Those are non-traditional forms of credit. Folks that utilize payday loans, title loans, et cetera, usually do so because they have been turned down by what I would call traditional lenders, that being a bank or a credit union. And these folks, they're well-meaning, they're well-intentioned, they're in a big financial jam where they feel like they absolutely have to have some money and they have to have it now. And they promise themselves that just this once, I'll only take out this type of loan, just this once. And as often as not, just this once turns into a series of loans, rolling over that loan, going back for and establish a new loan. These types of loans will often have triple-digit interest on an annualized basis.
Wow.
Doesn't sound so bad when they talk about it for the 2 weeks before your next, for when your next paycheck comes, that they'll deduct the payment. But on an annualized basis, they're very expensive loans. The better answer is to probe to see what is the root cause of you needing this type of loan, and let's find what that is and resolve it.
That's excellent, Gail. And, you know, I want to, one of the ones you mentioned kind of in this category is the credit card advance. And one of the things I've seen people do is they take that, you know, hey, it's free money, I'll take the 0% financing for a year, year and a half, or whatever it is, and then they play the game of moving the money around between credit cards and That kind of falls into that same question, doesn't it?
Well, they've got to realize that moving money around is not the same as becoming debt-free.
Exactly.
And again, well-meaning folks here, and on paper it makes perfect financial sense to transfer high-interest rate debt over to a low-interest rate card. But then that little voice in your head starts talking, and it says, you know, it's not going to hurt to charge just a little bit. I mean, after all, the interest is zero or very low on this card. Well, there you go again.
There you
go. By the time the introductory period expires, not only have you not paid off the debt, you've added to it.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Two questions to go. We'll get it done before we're finished here, Gail. Have you been saving enough in addition to that earmark for holiday spending? So in other words, are you saving for that holiday budget, but are you putting money away otherwise?
Yeah, everybody's got to have a well-funded savings account. It's not a matter of if the financial unplanned emergency is going to rear its ugly head. It will do so, and usually at the most inopportune time. So I want you to have that one, and I want you to put that everyday, rainy day emergency fund aside. Don't dip into that for your holiday spending. That's
Amen.
Called emergency money.
Right.
Holidays are not an emergency. There's something, you know, I always say every year, it is not a news flash that this year, Christmas is going to be December 25th. Okay, we know it. Plan for it.
Well, that's a great one. And you know what? It's also the first question I ask every person I meet with, Gail. The first question after, hey, how are you? What's your name? You know, it's let's talk about what kind of cash emergency fund you have. And then often enough, we may move some investment money back into an emergency fund before we start planning out what to do with investments and things like
right.
that.
Love it.
And the last one, which is related to your cash, is have you overdrawn your checking account more than twice in the last 12 months?
You know, again, red flag. You're overdrawing your checking account because your lifestyle represents a lifestyle that beyond what your income can support. Or it represents that you've had a series of unplanned emergencies and you don't have any money, any savings to fall back on. Without savings, people have limited resolution options. So look at it. Step back from this situation. And again, don't justify it. Oh, well, you know, I had that trip to the emergency room. Or, oh, I walked out from work and my car had a flat tire. Yeah, that happens to everybody. But everybody doesn't resolve it by overdrawing their checking account. So if you are in that situation where you're always putting out financial fires, step back and let's do something about it.
Gail, I tell you what, you are on the money. I love it. I love what you guys are doing over at NFCC, National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Gail Cunningham, Vice President of Membership and Public Relations, and the website is nfcc.org. Toll free 800-388-2227. And there are 600 affiliated agencies, credit counseling centers that you can be directed to and contact and sit down and have a conversation and get some help. Gail, always, always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. I always look forward to it.
Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.